Hey there, welcome to Walking Alongside Perspectives, a combination of short monopods as well as some conversations with cool folks covering various topics based on what is going on in the world, focusing on the broader theme of perspectives. As Friedrich Nietzsche said, there are no facts, only interpretations. So let's get into it with this episode. Thanks for being here. This episode is long, long overdue, but it's actually also a fill-in episode for one that I actually recorded at the beginning of February, but just haven't gotten around to finish editing. So this is a fill-in while I finish editing that one so that I can get it out. And it's kind of a little bit of a prequel in a way, because there's some thoughts that kind of might link to what we're going to be talking about in that episode. So apologies for being behind the eight ball yet again, but hopefully you enjoy it and hopefully I'll get this next one out sooner than later. So this episode is going to be about what I learned from my dog. And there's a couple of things. The first has to do with being able to teach an old dog new tricks. Luna's 7.5, and so by doggy standards, she's like midlife if she's lucky, and while she still hasn't really figured out how to play fetch and would prefer a game of kiss chasey, she has learned some things. But the point is not so much what Luna isn't or is learning, but rather what I still need to learn as a relatively older dog. So today I had a little adventure where I was having to buy an audio interface for my backup microphone. But it only has the amp style plug, and so I had to go to Long McQuaid and they helped me out and got me kitted up with one, and they said it's just plug and play. So I followed their instructions and the non-instructions on the matchbox sized piece of paper that came with it, and it wasn't working. I couldn't get the mic to pick up anything. So I did what anyone who has a problem these days does, I Googled it. Well, actually I went to the Presonus website, but ended up down a Reddit rabbit hole and finally was like, you know what, I can't figure this out. So I called Long McQuaid and said, hey, I just bought this thing and it's not working. And he said, did you turn up the gain? That's the preamplification. And I was like, sorry, what now? And he's like, if there's no little blips that you're seeing, it's because you need to turn it up. And I'm like, oh, like with this dial that looks like a volume button? Not my proudest moment. But when I did that and it was working, I realized two things. I did learn a new thing, how to make this audio box thing work. But I also learned that while you can just follow the instructions and sometimes that'll be adequate, when it's not, you need to ask for help. Old dog, new dog, it doesn't matter. Just ask for help. Ask for help if you're unsure, if you want clarification, or if you haven't got a clue. It's okay that you don't have all the answers. There are luckily people out there that have probably the answers you need, so let's leverage that. Lesson two is sticks, of all things. Luna loves sticks. Big sticks, small sticks, thick sticks. But she doesn't like when they're too skinny, like, you know, when there's something that you could use to roast a marshmallow. Sometimes she'll pick up one of those things and she'll get it in her mind that, yeah, this is a stick that I want. And she looks up at me as if for approval and I'll be like, yeah, that's a good stick, Luna. When really in my brain, I'm going, that is like such a non-stick compared to some of the ones that you've brought home. And it's like she can either read my mind or she comes to that conclusion on her own and she's like, yeah, this stick is crap. And she drops it and she carries on. But then when she does come upon a stick that she deems to be 100% worth the effort, she will sniff it, walk around it, look to me as if for acknowledgement of how exceptional this stick is, and then proceed to pick it up. Or try to, because sometimes I have to help her kind of balance it in her mouth. So I help her out, and even though she thinks I'm going to steal her stick, I'm really just trying to help her with it. So then when she's finally got it in her mouth, she's happy, and we're on our way. And the great thing is, and this is a bit of an aside, is when she has a stick, she is so determined to get home. She just motors along our route, hell-bent for leather to get this prized stick to the yard. And I love it because I want to get home too. And even though I walk for her, I also have kind of a desire to not have my pace that I'm tracking on my Apple Watch for every outdoor walk that I do be slowed down because we have to stop every 5 seconds because she needs to sniff. But sometimes, despite that focus to get home, she still does need to stop and take a break. I imagine that it's kind of awkward to have the stick in your mouth for 15 or 20 minutes, depending on when on the loop she's decided to pick it up. So she needs to stop and take a break, put it down, readjust, then have a quick moment, a quick shake, and she picks it back up and we're off. So the lesson as I'm looking at her is that we need to apply the same logic or process of stick discernment to the stuff that comes across our desks or our lives or in our inboxes, and we need to determine for ourselves, is this a stick that is worth my energy? Is this worth the effort that it's going to take to get it to wherever it is I'm going? And is it something that I'm going to feel good about at the end of the day? And if it isn't, then maybe I need to figure out a way to be just like Luna and be, this stick sucks, I'm dropping it and I'm moving on, peace out.
Because if we could do that, I think we would get through the day a lot better, or through the days and weeks and months, sometimes, of toiling at our jobs and our lives. And if we could stop wasting our energy on stuff that doesn't matter, on stuff that's just not worth it, I think that would be awesome. And also, we need to recognize that if we did find a stick that was worthy, and we know that it's worth the effort and the energy and the heartache and the tears, that we'd stop and take a break sometimes. Stop and put that big stick down, get some perspective, maybe get some help, take a little breather, pick it back up, and carry on. Because when it's a good stick, it's going to be worth it. So that's the second lesson that I've learned from Luna. The third one is that we should look at each day like it was a brand new opportunity and approach it with childlike enthusiasm and wide-eyed wonder. Now, I know that that might sound like a bit of a stretch, because sometimes we're just happy that we got up and got out of bed. But once we've had that first cup of tea or coffee or whatever it is that you need to get your day going, if we could not look at it as just another day, but rather look at it the way Luna approaches every single walk, and that's with the same excitement to get to those bunny trails that she's explored a million times before, the same little clump of bush that she's sniffed a million times before, that place where she once found a dog treat and keeps chucking it out because who knows, there might be another one there like every other time before. If we can do that, if we can apply that level of appreciation for each moment that every day brings us, I think that we would feel much better at the end of the day. That was also brought home by the fact that I recently signed up for a daily email called The Daily Stoic by a guy who has apparently been studying the Stoic masters of ancient Rome. And the one fellow that he quotes all the time, Epictetus, I'm sure I've said that wrong. Anyway, he said that every day you wake up, you are one day closer to death. A little bit harsh, but it's true. It's both literally and figuratively true. And I think it's imperative that we do try to approach every day with that same level of enthusiasm that Luna approaches each walk, even though she's going along exactly the same path every day. We have choices that she just doesn't have as long as she's on the leash with me. We have the control to make different decisions to maybe get us onto a different path and onto something that we're going to feel a little bit more excited about. So let's try to employ that Luna-like enthusiasm and excitement about every day. The fourth thing that I've recently learned from my dog is that you need to carry yourself with pride. You need to move through the world in a way that says, I have value and I deserve to be taking up however much space that I want. I want to walk with my head held high and my shoulders back and my abs and glutes engaged, and I want to look like I'm proud of myself, not because of anything that I've necessarily done, but just because I'm proud of being myself. And I want to look confident. I want people to see a person walking down the street with the same determination and purpose I see when I look at how Luna and other dogs walk. They are, for the most part, walking tails up, ears perky, doggy smiles on their faces, tongue lolling, and the gaits that different dogs have are hilarious to me. While Luna has very much more of a little show pony prance, there's also those sort of lumber, lumber, lumber kind of walks that you get with dogs like pugs and bulldogs. And then there's also that sort of more loping stride from your retrievers and other bigger dogs. And I just love watching them, and they all walk with a purpose, and you look at them and you're like, yep, that's how a German Shepherd should look. And if you see a little poodle thing kind of tiptoeing down the street, you're like, yep, that totally works. They're not schlumping along, shoulders down, head down. I mean, unless it's super hot or they're obviously tired or, you know, whatever. But for the most part, they walk like they matter. And I think that we should too. And finally, the last thing that I learned from my dog is that we need to really recognize and be cognizant of the fact that there are other people who aren't as fortunate as we are to be able to go through the world quite like we do. If you're fortunate enough to be able-bodied, to have your sight and your hearing and every other sense that you require, we need to recognize that that's a gift. And we need also to recognize that not everybody is that fortunate. So when we're designing things or making choices, to shovel or not to shovel, for an example, or doing things like, oh, I don't know, idling our vehicles for 20 or 30 minutes, let's keep that in mind, that there are people going to be out there trying to get around who might need a little bit of extra help, whether that's deliberate in terms of the built environment, like curbs that are rounded so wheelchairs can move unimpeded, or platforms at the LRT station that match the height of the carriage so you're not tripping over it, or doors that aren't made of glass so that you can see them even if you don't see very well and you can see the outline of the doors and you don't just walk into a pane of sheet glass. Those things and many others were brought to the forefront of my mind by a presentation that I watched a while ago by a person who is an urban planner. And it was fascinating to look at the world through the eyes of someone who's looking at making the world not just prettier, but more accessible to people. How Luna plays into that is related to my absolute loathing of those command stars and the people who misuse them. I know that the people that I'm specifically referring to here are completely able-bodied, and so they're totally 100% able to scrape their windshields. It doesn't need to be because they've warmed up their cars for a half an hour. Anyway, when I see these vehicles that have been running for 15 to 30 minutes, yes, that's how long, I know, because of the variation in the timings of my walks, and while that might make me sound like a weird stalker, it's really because some days I'm quicker than other days, and so I know when the cars start and approximately what time they leave. And let me tell you, there's a pattern. So anyway, the point is, when I approach said vehicles on my walks with Luna in the morning, I can see the fog, this cloud of disgusting exhaust that's just hanging all around the vehicle. And I have to walk through that. And Luna has to walk through that. So I hold my breath because I don't want to breathe it. But that's not an option that Luna has. Luna can't hold her breath or tell me that it stinks or that she would rather not walk through it, although I have taken to walking into the middle of the street to avoid the exhaust cloud. But I shouldn't have to. So I think that we all need to be like that urban planner who was inspired by his mom who was diagnosed with MS and how he learned how difficult it was to navigate through a city designed only for those who are able-bodied. Luna reminded me of that. She pointed out for me that the people who need the most help are often voiceless, so we need to be that voice. We need to be the people that say, hey, you know what? This is not okay, and we need to do better. So that's what I've learned from my dog, which is a lot considering she's a small, smooth-brained schnoodle. But she is quite honestly my therapy dog without actually being a therapy dog. Because the unconditional love and the joy that she gives me every single day that she sees me when I get home fills my heart and fills my cup. And I love it, and I love her, and I'm appreciative of everything that she's taught me. So hopefully any dogs, cats, gerbils, guinea pigs, birds, fish, reptiles, amphibians, or arthropods that you may have in your homes are also able to teach you a couple of lessons that might be adaptable for the two-legged among us. Because we need to keep learning, and we need to move and live with purpose and gratitude, and be able to get to where we need to go unimpeded by dumb shit, and we need to keep living like it's our last day on Earth.
Thanks for listening. If you have ideas for a topic, or even better, a perspective to share, I would love to hear them and share them, ideally in a conversation with you. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and throw a comment my way or share with friends. For better or for worse, we're all in this together. We have exactly one world to share, so let's make it the best one it can be. Until next time, take good care. Ciao for now.